Chapter 41. Erin woke up to the sound of snuffling. She opened her eyes fast. When you hear something large and unfamiliar moving around your face, sleep tends to be a lesser concern. To Erin's relief, she wasn't being attacked by mutant caterpillar pig monsters. Instead, she saw Mercia, the small white-furred gnoll, rooting around her cupboards. She was pawing through Erin's meticulously organized shelves, sniffing at what she found.
Hey!
Erin said it softly, but Mercia still freaked out. The gnoll turned and scampered out of the kitchen, fur standing straight on end.
No, wait! I didn't mean...
The young woman rolled out of her blankets, tried to stand, tripped, and smacked her toe against the cupboard. When Erin stopped whimpering, she found Mercia in the common room, hiding under a table and staring at Erin. It was like having a wild animal in her inn, except that Mercia's eyes were far more intelligent than any animal Erin had ever seen. She stared at Erin warily as the girl halted.
Hi, Mercia. You're awake, aren't you? Are you hungry? Do you want food?
Erin kept her voice low and soothing. Mercia made no move, but she backed up a bit as Erin stepped forwards. The girl stopped. What should she do? Ryoka was currently upstairs, sleeping, and Erin had no desire to wake her. Carefully, Erin walked back into the kitchen and looked around. Mercia's nose twitched as Erin came back out a few minutes later with some fried sausage and scrambled eggs. She stared fixedly at it, but she retreated to another table, hiding between the chair legs as Erin approached. Carefully, making no sudden moves, Erin put the plate on the floor. Mercia stared at it, and then watched as Erin retreated to the kitchen. Erin hid herself behind the door frame and waited. After a few seconds of staring at the plate and Erin's half-visible head, Mercia made her move. She darted out from the table and stopped at the plate. She began to gobble down the food on the plate, licking her paws greedily as she scarfed the food. It was adorable to Erin, the way Mercia licked the plate clean with her tongue and washed her paws and face. Adorable and heartbreaking. Ryoka had told her what had happened to Mercia's tribe. She was all alone now. What was she supposed to do next? Mercia burped, and Erin decided to attempt contact once more. Her ankle still hurt from Mercia's bite yesterday, but she had been punching Ryoka at the time. When Erin approached again, this time with a glass of water in her hands, Mercia tensed, but didn't run.
Hey, cutie. Here's a glass of water. Are you thirsty?
Mercia peered suspiciously up at Erin. She accepted the glass of water and drank messily. She was still clumsy enough that she slopped a lot of water onto the floor, but Erin didn't care. Mercia flinched a bit as Erin sat next to her, until Erin offered her a hand.
I'm sorry I kicked you last night. Ryoka and I just had a fight, but I'm not mean, okay?
The gnoll child blinked at Erin's hand, then she sniffed it. Erin kept very still as Mercia's whiskers tickled her skin. The gnoll grabbed Erin's hand with her open paws, and Erin was relieved not to feel the sharp claws, but instead the much softer pads on the gnoll's paws. Mercia inspected each of Erin's fingers with great interest, flexing them, pulling them apart and together, even patting them. Then she hesitated and licked Erin's skin.
Hey, that tickles!
Erin laughed and pulled away. Mercia looked alarmed, but when she saw Erin laughing, something changed. The gnoll put her paws on Erin's leg and looked at Erin inquisitively.
Go ahead, I won't move.
Erin did her best, but she wasn't prepared for Mercia's curiosity. The gnoll prowled around her, poking at Erin's body, her sides, even patting Erin's breasts, which elicited a yelp of surprise. The small knoll was soon all over Erin, and Erin was laughing as she finger-combed Mersha's hair when Ryoko walked downstairs. Ryoko Griffin was still numb, but better. Incomparably better than yesterday, in truth. She remembered the empty bleakness in her soul like a nightmare. Now she was still hollow, but there was something inside of her. Something warm that came from a full night of sleep in a warm bed and a hot meal. She walked softly down the stairs and saw Mersha sitting in Erin's lap as the young woman ran her hands through Mersha's soft hair. Erin was humming a song under her breath, and Mersha was swaying to the sound. Ryoko paused and watched the scene for a little while. Erin was singing the Do-Re-Mi song.
Me? A name! I call myself! Fa, a long, long way to run!
Mersha's eyes were closed. The child wasn't smiling, but her face was peaceful. Ryoko wiped her eyes and waited until they finished stinging before she walked into the room.
Ryoka!
The knoll's eyes shot open at Ryoka's name. She leapt out of Erin's lap and ran on all fours around Ryoka.
Mersha, hi.
Ryoka raised her hands as Mersha leapt around her like an excited dog. Mersha stood up and reached for her. Ryoka hesitated.
Here.
Erin lifted Mersha up. The knoll squirmed, but then started licking Ryoka's face and sniffing her. Ryoka recoiled, but held in place as Erin stared at her.
Morning, Erin.
Did you sleep well?
Yeah, thanks.
Ryoka scratched at her hair. She avoided staring at Erin. The two stood awkwardly until Mersha wriggled out of Erin's hands. That broke the spell.
You want food? I've got lots.
Sure.
Ryoka sat awkwardly at a table as Erin disappeared into the kitchen. Mersha tried to follow Erin in, but Ryoka called her back. Mersha sat on the floor and fidgeted until Erin came back with crepes, of all things. Ryoka stared at the steaming food until Erin plonked down some butter and a bowl of sugar.
How?
It wasn't that Erin had made the crepes. It was that she'd been in the kitchen for less than 20 minutes, and she'd already fried up a stack large enough for Ryoka, Mersha, and Erin herself. And she'd managed to cook some more sliced sausage up on another plate.
I've got advanced cooking, and I figured out how to make pancakes earlier. Try some. They're really good.
Erin handed Ryoka a fork and then dug into her own plate. Mersha was already patting one of the hot crepes with a paw, waiting until it was cool enough for her to eat.
No, here, darling.
Gently, Erin wrapped Mersha's paw around a fork and showed her how to cut and pick up the crepes. Mersha was clumsy, but she soon began to spear oversized bites of crepe and dip them into butter and sugar before transferring them into her mouth. Normally, that kind of excess gluttony would be remarked on, at least in Ryoka's house. But Erin was doing the same, and Ryoka herself put back quite a number of crepes before she even began to feel full.
That was good. Really good.
I'm glad. You ate more than I thought, but we've got leftovers. I guess Lion can eat them.
Erin covered the plate with a cloth as Ryoka frowned.
Lion? Who's that?
Oh, right. I forgot, you haven't met Lion. She's probably still sleeping upstairs.
Ryoka's eyes flicked to the stairwell. She hadn't even noticed that there were other people in the inn, but now that she was finally thinking again, 100 questions and thoughts were pushing through her mind. She couldn't help it. It was her nature. But part of Ryoka felt she shouldn't be wondering and planning. Everything she did hurt people. What good were her opinions? But then Ryoka looked at Erin as the girl laughed at Mersha's attempts to steal sugar from the bowl. Flawed as she might be, she could still help Erin, who sometimes didn't think enough.
So this Lion is a new employee? Did you hire Saria too, or is she in the city?
Aaron paused.
No. Sari has gone north. She's gone back to adventuring.
Ryoka held quite still as her thoughts paused. She didn't swear, and she clamped down on her immediate response, because Mercia was sitting in her chair, happy and bloated. Ryoka would slice off the rest of her fingers before she disturbed the child's moment of peace.
I guess a lot has happened. You'd better tell me all of it, Aaron.
Oh, sure, but...
Aaron's eyes slid sideways to Mercia. The kid was staring at a crumb on the table.
What are you going to do about her, Ryoka?
I don't know.
You said she's by herself? Does she have any... anyone?
Ryoka closed her eyes. Something dark squeezed her heart.
I don't know. I doubt it. And I have no idea who to ask.
Memory flared in her head.
What about the gnoll you know? Kershaya, right? Could we ask her for help?
Mercia's ears perked up at the word gnoll. She looked over at the two humans. They exchanged a glance.
Well, the food was good, right, Ryoka?
Right.
How about I find something for Mercia to do? Hey, Mercia, you must be bored. Do you want to play with some things, sweetie?
Mercia cocked her head at Aaron. Ryoka stared too, raising her eyebrows silently. Aaron hesitated and then ran into the kitchen. Both Noel and human heard banging and doors opening and then reemerged with an armful of ladles, rolling pins, and other cooking equipment. As a ploy to distract Mercia, Ryoka thought it could never work. But she'd forgotten that Mercia wasn't a child in a first-world country, and she'd probably been banned from hanging around the cooking pots in the Stone Spears tribe's camp. She immediately scooted over to the cooking equipment and began inspecting it with interest. Aaron sighed as she and Ryoka relocated a few tables down to talk. They kept their voices low in case the young gnoll was listening.
Good thinking, Aaron.
I guess she'll play with those for a while. But I don't know what to do, Ryoka. She needs someone to look after her, and proper toys and stuff.
I know.
And she's so sad, Ryoka.
You can tell?
Ryoka stared at Mercia as the gnoll inspected the various cooking utensils Aaron had brought out. She was half like a normal toddler in that she tasted everything, but she was clearly older and smaller. It must be a gnoll quality to want to smell and taste everything. Aaron nodded.
She's just like a kid. I mean, a human kid. She's really curious, but every now and then when I was playing with her, she'd... How bad was it?
Bad.
Ryoka saw the gnolls falling around her, and the goblins screaming and cutting both drakes and gnolls apart. She shuddered. Aaron stared at Ryoka and then looked at Mercia.
What should we do with her?
We. It was just like Aaron to immediately put herself into the problem and look for a solution. Ryoka half smiled.
I guess we need to talk to Kershaya. She'd probably be willing to help, right?
She vaguely remembered Aaron having a good relationship with the gnoll, but now Aaron hesitated. She looked at the table and twiddled her thumbs.
There's this thing with Kershaya.
What thing?
Well...
Aaron began explaining, in a rather confused way, a story about gnolls and burning shops when Ryoka heard someone moving upstairs. Ryoka turned and saw Lion. The young woman stood staring down at the room. Mercia had gone silent as she appeared at the head of the stairs, but Lionette's eyes were fixed on Ryoka and Aaron. She stared at the two girls and then spoke in a haughty voice.
I am awake. Where is breakfast?
Ryoko watched Erin's face change in a second. Her bright smile disappeared and she sighed. Ryoko stared at the other girl.
Who the hell is that, Erin?
Oh, that's Lion.
The other girl had heard her. She descended the stairs with chin raised.
That is Lionette de Marquet, peon.
She was wearing somewhat ragged traveling clothes, and her hands were dirty from work, but she still conducted herself like some of the haughty girls Erin had sometimes seen, those born into money.
Ryoka, meet Lionette de something. She's an employee I've hired. I am pleased to meet you, Ryoka. I trust you will conduct yourself with the appropriate manners in my presence.
Ryoka eyed Lion as Erin scowled. She shrugged.
Perhaps.
Lionette's brows flashed together, but before she could speak, Erin interrupted.
I've got some crepes in the kitchen, Lionette. You can have them, or some porridge, or cereal. Help yourself.
The haughty girl sniffed, but she went without another word. Ryoka stared at Erin.
An employee?
Sort of. I mean, yes, but she's not a good one.
Erin rubbed at her eyes as Lionette poked her head back into the common room.
Where are the forks? The drawer next to the cutting board. Very well.
So, is she some kind of noble?
Yeah, she says, where are the cups?
Erin's left eye twitched.
I've told you, it's in the cupboard above the forks. Oh,
Ryoka watched Lionette disappear. Mercia had stopped playing with a ladle and was staring at the kitchen with interest.
She reminds me of a female Pisces.
Even he wasn't this bad.
So, why haven't you fired her?
Erin shrugged helplessly.
Because I can't. She's got nowhere to go, Ryoka. And if I send her north, a monster will eat her, and she can't go into the city because all the gnolls want to kill her.
Ryoka raised both her eyebrows. Erin shook her head.
It's a long, long story. And it's actually why I'm not talking to Kershaya, actually.
Then tell me. Tell me what happened from the start. Let's do this right.
It took a while for Erin to relate the entire story, but for once, Ryoka managed to listen to all of it without many interruptions. Lionette returned with her breakfast and ate in a corner. Mercia abandoned her playing to stare at Lion. Both girls tensed when Mercia sniffed around Lionette's legs and the other girl froze up. But surprisingly, Lionette let Mercia paw at her without any screaming or noticeable revulsion.
And so now, I can't buy anything from any gnoll shopkeepers, and I haven't talked with Kershaya since. I've been meaning to, but after all these adventurers came by and Magnolia wanted to chat.
Erin spread her hands out helplessly. Ryoka nodded absently as she looked at Lionette. She hadn't exactly had a good impression of the girl from the start, but she was now right above Pursua on Ryoka's dislike list.
And that's what she's like all the time?
Ryoka waved a hand at Lion as the girl stared at Mercia and the gnoll stared back. Erin nodded miserably.
Erin.
I know, but I didn't know she was like that.
Both girls watched as Mercia scooted closer. Lion hesitated, but then she gently patted Mercia on the head. She began to scratch Mercia behind the ears, and the gnoll child leaned into Lion's side. For once, Lionette wasn't scowling.
Huh, that's odd. Normally she runs away from anyone with fur or scales. Or dirty hands.
Ryoka nodded, then she spoke the thought that had coalesced in her mind ever since Aaron had described meeting Lionette.
She's a princess.
Aaron paused, then she turned and stared at Ryoka.
What?
Ryoka nodded at Lionette.
She's a runaway princess. She has to be.
Well, I know she says she's a noble, but a princess?
The incredulous look Ryoka received did nothing to faze her. She shook her head.
She is a princess. How can you not see that?
How are you seeing that?
The other girl began to tick points off on her fingers.
Running away from a royal family, calling other people peons, countless powerful magical artifacts, haughty attitude.
She looked at Aaron.
How many stories do you know of where the princess runs away? Look at the way she acts, not to mention the fact that she seems to think Magnolia would just take her in. We're in a world that has dragons and magic, Aaron. Lionette is a princess from Tyrandria. They have several royal families there.
It was a lesson in facial expressions to watch Aaron's face. Incredulity turned to thoughtful contemplation, and then uneasy suspicion, which became shock and realization, which finally merged into reluctant acceptance and deep regret.
Oh my God!
Ryoka patted Aaron on the shoulder as the girl slumped to the table.
She might not be a princess, but she's probably among the high nobility, at least.
How could I not have seen it?
The important thing is, what happens next?
Aaron looked up.
Like what? Send her home? How would I even... You said she's probably from Tyrandria? That's another continent. I can't send her back there.
I'm not suggesting you do, but you have to do something about her. She's a danger to you if she stays here.
Because someone will come looking for her?
Ryoka nodded. Her mind was already racing with possibilities.
To bring her back, or kill her, or use her as a hostage. Either way, you'll be a loose end to tie up. Maybe she's not that important if Magnolia isn't interested in her, but she's clearly some rich person's daughter.
No.
Aaron moaned as she covered her face in her hands.
Why is my life so hard? What do I do? I don't need this.
She lowered her hands and stared at Ryoka.
What do I do? What can we do?
Think.
What?
Ryoka tapped the table.
Calm down. Just think. Lionette is a problem, but from what you've told me, she's not the only thing on your plate. You've got lots of problems.
Aaron looked down.
I know.
And I'll help you with them.
There was a pause, and then Aaron looked up. Ryoka didn't exactly meet her eyes. She cleared her throat awkwardly. Her face was hot, but she knew what she had to say. It was just hard.
I said a lot of things I shouldn't have said last night, Aaron. I'm sorry.
What? No, Ryoka, I know it was really tough. I'm sorry for hitting you.
Ryoka rubbed at her chest. Her ribs still hurt.
No, it was my fault. It's just, a lot of things have happened. That army of goblins is a real threat, but from what Magnolia told you, that might be the least of the things that's about to hit the continent. And we're about to be caught in all of it.
Aaron caught her breath. When Ryoka said it like that, everything seemed so much more overwhelming. She had no idea what to do, and said so.
What should we do, then? I mean, all these problems... What are you going to do, Ryoka? Do you have a plan?
She had nothing like a plan. Ryoka stared at her hand. She had nothing. She didn't know what to do. But now Aaron was counting on her, too. She had to keep going. She couldn't falter. Not now.
Next? I guess the next thing I have to do is collect my reward from Terriark. Once I do that, I need to deal with Lady Magnolia. Then, I don't know.
Ryoka stared down at her maimed hand.
I've got to finish this delivery. When I do, I'll come back and help you.
She looked at Mercia, but then felt something. Aaron touched Ryoka's good fingers gently.
Don't go. Stay here for a while.
The taller girl shook her head. Her legs felt like lead, and her mind was still heavy, but she had to see this through. She had not told Aaron who Terriark really was. A dragon. Maybe he would have the answers to all of this. Maybe...
I have to go. I have a job, Aaron.
Yeah, but you don't have to go today, or even tomorrow, Ryoka. You looked half dead when you came in, and then there's Mercia and all this stuff that's happening here. Stay here.
Ryoka hesitated. She looked at Mercia again. The gnoll was leaning against the table where Lion sat, eyes closed. Could she just leave Mercia here and run on? No, of course not. Ryoka closed her eyes and nodded.
That was stupid of me. I'll stay, at least for a day.
Good! Then we can do something together!
Ryoka opened one eye and stared at Aaron.
Like what?
Something! Anything!
Aaron looked at Ryoka. She smiled in excitement.
We've never actually done anything together. I mean, we went into the city that one time, and I sang on the inn's roof. But besides that...
Ryoka nodded slowly. She looked at Mercia, and then at the inn. This inn. This place where she felt safe. Somewhere to go home to. Slowly, she began to realize what she had to do.
Okay, let's do something.
The innkeeper smiled.
Great! What should we do? We could get a bath. You and Mercia, sort of smell. Or we can visit the city, or...
Let's go see Kershaya.
Aaron froze.
What now? But...
As long as Lionette's here, she's a problem. Those gnolls won't give up after just one attempt. At least that Brunker might not. I want to be sure you're safe. And I... need to tell them what happened.
Aaron nodded slowly. Ryoka stood up and stared out the window. The sky was clear, but snow had fallen heavily. Her body was tired, but she kept moving. She had to keep moving. She had a duty now, a mission. Ryoka stood and shouldered the debt she carried. It weighed her down and gave her purpose. She looked at Mercia and knew what she had to do. Aaron walked down Market Street in Lyskore and felt like nothing had changed. And yet, the feeling in her bones was like that of a traveler coming home after many years. How long had it been since she'd walked down these stalls looking for that familiar brown fur and calling voice? Too long. Just a week or two had passed, and yet she missed her friend. It took Aaron a while to spot Kershaya's shop. That was also because she was walking with Ryoka and Mercia. While Ryoka could easily keep pace, Mercia was not so quick. The gnoll child kept pausing to stare around the market or dart off after some interesting sight or smell, and Ryoka and Aaron kept having to go after her. Eventually, Ryoka ended up dragging a reluctant Mercia along by the paw. But at last, they were through the market and nearing the intersection when Aaron saw two familiar figures. Kershaya stood behind her shop's counter, arguing with her nephew Brunker. It was all the same, and yet it wasn't. Not nearly. Aaron remembered Kershaya had always been in the center of Market Street, with one of the biggest shops and many customers. But now... Now she had a small stand with a few items on display. It was so far from the bountiful shop she'd kept stocked that it hurt Aaron's heart. and neither was the gnoll smiling and laughing with her customers. Her ears were flat against her skull, and she was snapping at Brunker.
Go back if you are so impatient. Tell them, yes, tell them of my failure. But here I am still the leader, am I not? If you go against my wishes, you defy the chieftain. You are not the sole leader here, Aunt.
Brunker wasn't wearing his sword and shield, but he was still taller than Kershaya. His fists were clenched, and both Drakes and Knolls were walking wide of him. Erin stopped as she saw the two, uncertain. Someone bumped into her. Ryoka cursed under her breath as Mercia tried to tug her into a queue of people lined up to buy some grilled meat that smelled wonderful in the cold air.
Mercia, no! You can't... Erin, can you hold her?
Ryoka looked over and saw Kershaya and Brunker. She paused, but didn't let go of Mercia, who was practically drooling.
That's Brunker?
Kershaya was growling at Brunker, and he was making the same noise. It looked as if they were about to attack each other at any second. In short, not the atmosphere Erin wanted to have a reunion in.
Yeah, should we...
Ryoka hesitated for a second. Then she thrust Mercia's paw into Erin's hand. Erin lifted the gnoll into her arms and watched Ryoka. The young woman walked straight into the argument between the two gnolls.
Kershaya Silverfang, my name is Ryoka Griffin. We need to speak.
Both gnolls shut up and stared at Ryoka. Erin held her breath, and Mercia stared as Ryoka faced both gnolls down without a hint of fear. Tall as Ryoka was, both gnolls were taller and bigger than she was. Brunker glared at Ryoka.
Another human? Go away. We are busy. This is a matter between me and my aunt.
I'm a friend of Erin's solstices.
Ryoka jerked a thumb over her shoulder at Erin. Kershaya's eyes widened when she saw Erin and Mercia, but Brunker just growled.
I do not care. Go away.
He tried to loom over Ryoka, but she didn't even bat an eyelid.
And who are you supposed to be?
I am Brunker, warrior of the Silverfang tribe, and I-
Okay, piss off. I need to talk to someone important.
Erin's mouth fell open. Mercia's ears flattened, and suddenly she was the one clinging to Erin. Brunker's eyes narrowed, and he opened his mouth.
You dare? You dare to insult me? You?
Cold sweat ran down Erin's back. She'd thought Ryoka had gotten better, or at least she wasn't crazily angry anymore, but she wasn't showing many signs of sanity at the moment. What should Erin do? But Ryoka seemed to have a plan of her own. She calmly stared at Brunker as the gnoll drew back his lips and bared his teeth.
I dare. I dare because there are more important things than you, little gnoll. Kershaya Silverfang, the Stone Spears tribe is gone.
The street went silent. Ryoka's raised voice caused a hush and a pause as every single gnoll on the street within hearing, and that was quite a radius, stopped and stared at her. Brunker had drawn in his breath to roar, but now he froze, eyes wide. Kershaya stared at Ryoka. Her eyes flicked to Erin and only now seemed to notice Mercia. She took a step back, and for a second her eyes were filled with fear. Then the moment passed. She looked at Ryoka and shook her head.
You speak the truth. To the best of my knowledge, I witnessed their end.
Kershaya nodded. She looked at Brunker.
Close this door. I must hear this.
He didn't argue. The street was full of silence as Kershaya gestured. Ryoka walked in after her, silent. Erin hesitated, but hurried after the two, Mercia in her arms. She sensed Knowles following her, and now that all eyes were on her and Ryoka, they saw Mercia too. She heard muttering and felt a twinge of unease in her heart. They were all Knowles, and Kershaya was her friend, even after Lionette. She didn't seem angry at Aaron, even if Brunker was a jerk. But then why were all the Knolls staring at Mercia? And why was she holding on to Aaron so tightly? And why did they all look so afraid?
I think I have it figured out. I'm Ryoka Griffin. I'm a runner and an arrogant young woman who thought she was better than she actually is. Because I was a fool, people died. Maybe I couldn't have saved them anyways, but I could have been stronger, and maybe that would have made a difference. Regardless, though, they died. The people who helped me died. It may not be my fault, but I still have a debt. A debt to the dead. One person still lives. A kid. A child. I will keep her safe, but I will also pay off my debt, and the first part of that is confession. I sit in Kushaya Silverfang's apartment, a cup of weirdly bitter tea in my hands. There's a bowl of chopped meat on the table, but I'm not sure if it's raw, so I don't take any. Aaron and Mercia have already eaten several cubes. Kushaya sits across from me with Brunker by her side. She's clearly in charge. She was the only person to ask questions as I told her what happened. Whatever their beef, Brunker is clearly subordinate to her in this matter. And there are Knolls outside. I look towards one of the windows and see a bit of fur disappear. Knolls are standing outside the apartment, maybe even on the roofs. I doubt it's an ambush. I think they're listening in on our conversation. Small wonder. The news I have is bad. As bad as it gets. I can tell that just from the look on Kershaya and Brunker's face.
A goblin lord.
That's what Kershaya says after I finish. She stares down into her cup of tea, untouched, as her nephew clenches his fist. She looks up at me gravely, and I nod.
A goblin lord. And he's got an army. An army strong enough to defeat Zell's Shivertail. It is an ill thing. Worse, he has slain the Stone Spears tribe to the last.
Kershaya's eyes flick to Mercia. Mercia's sitting next to Aaron, but she seems uneasy around Kershaya. No more than Kershaya and Brunker seem uneasy around her, though. They keep looking at her. Because of the fur?
These are dark tidings you bring us, Ryoka Griffin. But I am grateful you speak to us of what has passed, instead of letting others spread the news.
I nod, my attention back on Kershaya. In truth, I have no idea what this Knoll is like. I knew Urksh fairly well for someone who'd only spent 4 days in his company, but Kershaya is a stranger. For all Aaron says, she's nice. I have to watch her, and at the same time, I have to help. A good start is being honest.
I owe them. The Stone Spears tribe saved my life. Their chieftain was kind to me.
Kershaya nods. She closes her eyes for a second, and I see a bit of pain cross her features.
I knew Urksh. He was not the strongest chieftain. Not as a warrior, but he was wise. That he is gone is a true loss.
That the tribe is gone is a disaster.
Brunker growls as he clenches his fist. No tea for him. He looks at me, eyes full of passion and fury.
What of the mining expedition? They may yet live. Knolls will not die to goblins so easily.
I shift in my seat and shake my head.
I had the same thought, but that army had over 100 hobgoblins in it. Even if the mining expedition wasn't found...
Kershaya nods. Her expression is bleak.
They would throw themselves upon the goblins rather than live without their tribe. They are gone, Brunker.
All except one.
I nod at Mercia. She blinks around as both Knolls stare at her. Aaron pats Mercia on the shoulder soothingly, but Mercia just edges towards her, away from Brunker.
Yes. Young Mercia.
Kershaya gets up from her chair. She bends down, and Mercia scoots back, but the other Knoll's face is nothing but kind. She growls something low and soothing, and Mersha's death grip on Aaron's arm slowly releases. Mersha doesn't speak. She can't, but she does reach out with one paw. Kershia lets Mersha put a paw on her cheek and then nuzzles the smaller gnoll gently. White fur brushes against dark brown, and I look away.
Human!
Brunker looks at me, his eyes serious. I stare back. I don't like Brunker. He's probably a solid, serious guy, but he doesn't strike me as smart. And it's smart I need right now. Smart and willing to talk and compromise.
What of the other tribes? Did you run and warn them? Or are they at the mercy of this goblin army?
Kershia steps back from Mersha and looks disapprovingly at her nephew.
If it is Shivertail, he will have the gnolls in his army howl, yes. The tribes will be warned. This goblin army will not catch them so easily.
She shakes her head.
No, they are warned, but a meeting must be called. The tribes must either flee or band together to destroy this threat before a goblin king arises.
I will lead the warriors south to defend our tribe.
Brunker rises, but Kershia glares him back down.
To do what? A few spears will make no difference against such a horde. Besides, you are weeks away, and our tribe is secure. You are needed here.
To do what? Guard ashes?
Brunker's hackles raise as he stares at his aunt. She glares back, and the mood in the room goes sour again. Mersha edges away, and Aaron looks worried. She hasn't said much. I guess she's worried about saying the wrong thing. But I don't care if the mood's wrong. I just want to resolve this. So I clear my throat and get the two gnolls to break off the staring match.
Ahem. That's the second thing I need to talk to you about. Kershia Silverfang.
She waves a paw.
You are a friend of Aaron's. I am Kershia.
I nod.
Kershia, Mersha here is without a home. I don't know anything about gnoll customs, but you're the only gnoll that Aaron knows. Is there any way she could stay here?
I am not prepared for the look of horror Mersha gives me. She tries to struggle out of Aaron's arms towards me, but the girl holds her. She gives me a look, too. What? Kershia hesitates. She casts an eye at Mersha, and I see her expression as she looks at her white fur.
Brunker, will you go and give Mersha some food? I have some snacks from home she may like.
It's the cheapest of tricks, but Mersha's ears perk up at the word food. Brunker glares, but he stands up and walks into the kitchen. Aaron's the only one who protests.
Mersha's had a big breakfast, and a lot of these cubes. Maybe she should...
I glare at Aaron and jerk my head towards the kitchen. Her face goes slack, and I nearly slap my head as I see her put the pieces together.
Oh, let's go eat something, Mersha.
She leads Mersha into the kitchen, but the kid still looks over her shoulder at me twice on the way there, and I see her peeking back at me to make sure I'm not leaving. Damn it. I didn't mean I just run off, but I just meant that... Kershia moves towards me and lowers her voice. I focus back on her, leaving recriminations aside for a second.
Ryoka Griffin, the situation is more complicated than it seems. Yes, it is.
I keep my voice low as the gnoll sits next to me so we can talk. I can sense her body heat, and her fur makes me feel like I'm next to a bear. But her eyes are just like any person's eyes. I focus on that.
This news you bring is terrible. My heart hurts for Mersha. And yet, the situation here is complicated.
I nod.
I know. Your people want to kill Lionette, and Aaron's protecting her.
Kershia nods.
Among other things, it was a terrible thing Lionette did. She destroyed your store, yes, and she did a lot of damage to other gnolls' shops, but there's something else, isn't there?
All of that was bad, from the way Aaron described it, but it still didn't quite square with a Knoll hit squad going out after Lionette. Kershaya hesitates, and I stare at her.
I'm not Aaron, Kershaya. Let's speak honestly.
Her lips quirk into a bitter smile.
It is something I have wished for, but circumstances have conspired against me speaking so before now, yes? What you say is true. The thieving girl destroyed more than simply my shop. She destroyed something precious to my clan, something we have labored to accumulate for many years.
Fuck. That's not what I wanted to hear, but it puts the pieces together. I nod.
So, Aaron, by saving Lionette, is also preventing you from righting the wrong. She has taken on the debt, yes.
Kershaya nods. I scowl.
That's bullshit. It wasn't her fault. She did nothing that warranted an attack.
Kershaya's eyes are steady as she meets mine.
No, she did not. That was wrong. But the debt of the thief cannot be erased except by blood, and Aaron Solstice bears the cost so long as she protects her.
Knoll customs. In my stay with the Stonespears tribe, Urksh explained some of their customs to me. They take debts like this seriously, and their idea of guilt is transferable. I scowl into my cup of tea and drink some. Not bad. It gives me a second to think.
Do all the Knolls in the score think like this? Some. The young do. We who are older understand Aaron Solstice. But even so, it is hard to accept. The thief must be punished. The debt must be paid. But she has nothing. Nothing but her life.
The old customs. Blood settles all debts, the most ancient of customs. Sometimes I think the Knolls are just like us. Well, what the hell am I saying? That does sound like us. Damn it. Fine. Let's just see how bad this is.
And what is the worth that Lionette cost you? How many gold coins would it be equivalent to, for instance? 50,000 gold coins.
I blink and stare at Kershaya. She stares back. I open my mouth and close it. If I'd said something like, you can't be serious, or this must be a mistake, I'd probably have to stab myself to erase the embarrassment. Kershaya is serious, and so I'll answer her. I stare at Kershaya.
So long as Aaron has that debt, you won't help her, will you? It would be harder, yes. We have given Aaron Solstice aid before, as we have you.
I remember the Knolls that helped fight Ghazi and nod.
You know she's from another world, and you wanted her to give you something useful, something you can bring back to your tribe.
Kershaya inhales softly. I hear Brunker growling to Mercia in the other room and her knocking about.
You are quick, yes? You think differently than Aaron does.
Not necessarily better.
No, but you are correct. We did hope. We offered much in exchange in hopes of receiving more, but...
Kershaya shrugged.
The thief cost us too much. It was poor luck, but my tribe will pay for it. I do not believe Aaron will be able to offer anything worthy of such a debt.
So you're trying to talk Brunker out of trying to kill Lionette.
Kershaya's eyes flicker. She inclines her head.
Very quick. It would undo years of work in Liscor and do more harm than good. But the debt still remains.
Fine. I think I understand the problem.
I sigh and put down the teacup. Then I face Kershaya and raise my voice so the Knolls listening at the doors and windows can hear.
I will take on Aaron's debt, and I will pay it.
The gnoll blinks at me. Once, twice. I grin, the wide grin of an idiot who's betting everything with nothing in their hand.
You are confident, yes? Do you have something of that worth?
800 gold pieces, which I don't actually have at the moment. 1.6% of Aaron's debt. I don't say that out loud, though.
I'll find a way. I'm from another world, just like Aaron.
Kershaya blinks at me, but she doesn't seem surprised.
Oh, but that does not mean you have anything more than Aaron Solstice, yes? And should this not be a great secret?
Things have changed.
A certain group of idiots in Magnolia's care proves that.
I will pay the debt. I will find something that will erase Aaron's debt, I promise.
Kershaya studies me.
You are confident, yes?
Yes.
I hold her gaze. After a second, she nods.
Soon. If you would erase the debt, then you must do it soon.
Fine.
I am so fucked, but it's just one part of the debt I owe. I look at the kitchen as I hear Brunker growling and Aaron laugh.
What about Mercia?
Kershaya nods.
We will take her. My tribe is far to the south, but we will raise her here until we journey back.
I hesitate. That's what I had planned, but I remember the look in Kershaya and Brunker's eyes.
And she will be safe?
Yes.
Barely a flicker, but it's there. I stare at Kershaya.
Her fur is white. I thought it had to do with the frost fairies who saved us, but does that mean something in Gnoll culture?
Kershaya's gaze wavers. She picks up a cube of meat and pops it into her mouth and swallows it without looking at me.
There is significance.
You mean it's bad luck, or an ill omen?
Yes.
What does it mean exactly?
Kershaya pauses.
Don't lie to me, Kershaya Silverfang.
She glares at me. I glare right back. Kershaya sighs and scratches at her neck.
Too quick. You are prickly, like a thorn bush, yes? But you are right. White fur is a sign among my kind. No gnoll has white fur, except those touched by disaster.
Disaster?
Those who have lost their tribe. Those who have survived calamity. And it is said, those who bring it.
My throat closes up. I'm suddenly very, very glad that Mercia is in the other room.
None of what happened was Mercia's fault.
Kershaya traces a pattern on her leg.
I am sure you tell the truth, but my people believe in such signs. Can you be certain that none of it was due to her?
The frost fairies. I clench my fist and feel my nails digging into my skin, puncturing it.
No, but she is still innocent.
Kershaya studies me and nods.
I will take her. She will be safe with me.
I shake my head. Now everything's changed again.
No, she'll stay with Aaron. I saw the way Brunker looked at her.
He is young, but if he acts like that, so will the other gnolls. Would Mercia even be safe in Lascaur?
Kershaya nods, but only after a second. I feel grim, literally grim.
If you can't be absolutely sure she'll be safe, she'll stay with Aaron. And anyone who tries to hurt her will have to go through me and every damn guard I can find. She will not be harmed, Ryoka Griffin. But perhaps it would be best for her to stay in the inn.
Fine.
I shake my head. This has been complete crap, but at least I've got something else to focus on. What the hell can I give the gnolls? I know there's something. Gunpowder aside, there has to be something. Advancements in archery? I saw the gnolls using short bows and long bows, but what about composite weapons or compound bows? Can I even make that? Some kind of medical advancement? Education? But it has to be something truly valuable. Damn it. How will I keep Mercia safe? I haven't seen Aaron's skeleton. She'll have to keep him around the inn at all times. How soon is soon? Kershaya interrupts the whirlwind of thoughts in my head.
Why do you offer to take up Aaron Solstice's debt, Ryoka? Is it merely friendship or something else?
I look at her. The answer is burning in my chest. It's the only thing I can do. What I must do.
I have my own debt to the Stone Spears tribe. That's why I'll help Aaron and give your tribe something of worth. I owe Mercia more, though. Remember that. And what do you owe Mercia?
Kershaya's brown eyes are fixed on me. I meet her gaze, my eyes serious.
Everything.
Something else happened before Aaron and Ryoka left Kershaya's house. Ryoka was just finishing her discussion with Kershaya when she heard a yelp and then a shout from the kitchen. She'd leapt out of the couch and was running into the kitchen before she knew what she was doing. Brunker was shaking his arm and shouting in agony. Ryoka saw Mercia biting his hand, teeth gnawing at his flesh as he tried to throw her off. Aaron was holding him down.
Mercia!
Get her off!
Mercia, let go!
I run to Mercia and help drag her away from Brunker. Her mouth is bloody, and she struggles like a wildcat in my grip, snarling silently at Brunker.
That hurts!
He roars at her and bares his teeth. I push Mercia behind me, but Aaron and Kershaya block the way.
Desist, nephew!
She drew blood!
Brunker snarls at Kershaya, but Aaron stands in front of him. She raises a fist.
Get near her and I'll punch you!
That makes Brunker hesitate. He eyes her and I hustle Mercia into the other room. I'm about to shout at her when I see her face. Mercia's teeth are covered in blood and she's still snarling. But she's also crying. Tears roll down her face as she strains in my arms, trying to get free. In the end, Brunker goes back into the living room as Aaron and I sit with Mercia. I don't know what Kershaya said, but a few words from her in the gnoll's growling language made Mercia stop trying to attack Brunker.
What happened?
I don't know!
Aaron accepts a wet washcloth as she mops at Mercia's face. The gnoll wriggles away from her at first, but then lets her clean up the blood. She spits onto the cloth, and I offer her some tea to wash the blood away.
All I know is that Mercia was fine, then Brunker growled something at her, and then she attacked him.
Brunker looked defensive as Aaron pauses to glare at him. Kershaya gives him a death look, and his ears flatten.
Brunker? What is it you have done?
He glares at the floor as he mutters a reply.
I just told her her tribe is gone. Gone and never coming back. Gone because she brought disaster with her. Because she is cursed.
Silence. I stare at Aaron and then Mercia. She's crying again. Aaron stands up. She doesn't say a word. She just punches Brunker hard enough to send him crashing into a wall. Kershaya nods in approval.
My deepest apologies, Aaron Solstice.
I think we should go.
Aaron looks sadly down at Mercia. She's crying and clinging to me. I feel her claws piercing my skin, but I just hold her. Kershaya looks sadly at us, her eyes lingering on Mercia's white fur. White as snow, a pure color. White, the color of purity, innocence, and also death. It's a slow procession home. I carry Mercia, even though she's heavy. She's still crying. I have to stop twice for her to throw up. All the food she ate comes up, and she just clings to me harder. Another failure of mine. I'm not worthy of even staying around her, but if Kershaya can't protect her, somehow I have to. Somehow. Aaron and I don't talk much on the way back, just slog through the deep snow. It looks like it will snow more tonight.
Oh-ho! I see the mortal fool has met the one who serves the food. Tis good. Oh, but they move so slowly, like ants, like bugs. Should we drop more snow on them? An avalanche? Hey, you?
Frost fairies fly down out of the air. I stare up at them. Now's not the time, but they laugh and grin as if nothing's wrong.
Oh, travelers, give us your queen or we shall bury you. Brigands we, victims thee.
Aaron winces, but she doesn't respond to the fairy's provocations. I have no such inhibitions.
Get lost, you lot. Now's not the time.
Ryoka!
Aaron hisses at me, but I just stare at the fairies. They pause.
Oh, the mortal has teeth. Are we disturbing you?
I point to Mercia. She's buried her face in my clothes and hasn't moved. I feel her tears soaking through my layers of clothes.
You're bothering her. Go away.
The Frost Fairies hesitate. They stare at Mercia and seem to confer. Then, without a word, they fly away. Aaron gapes at me.
How did you do that? They never listen to me.
I shrug, adjusting my hold on Mercia.
Hit 'em where it hurts. They like children.
As if to spite me, I feel something gently smack me in the back of the head. Aaron wipes away the snow as I grit my teeth.
Little freaks.
Another snowball taps me on the back lightly. Aaron shakes her head.
I think they like you.
I've reached an understanding with them.
That's so, well, it's good, right?
Who knows?
We walk on. In a few minutes, we can see the door of Aaron's inn at the top of the hill, and something else.
There's a crowd at your inn.
Oh, I guess everyone thought I'd be in.
Aaron darts forwards, and I hear her calling to people ahead of me. I barely recognize any of the people who are standing in front of the inn. A female drake? Celis? And the Antiniums either Pawn or Kilbakach? No. Kilbakach is the only one with two arms, so it must be him. And there's an older guy in his 30s who I know I've never seen. He's wearing leather armor, and he looks like a fighter. And goblins. My footsteps stop, and my heart freezes in my chest. The small goblin, Rags, is standing next to a hobgoblin in the snow, apart from the rest. I quickly look down at Mercia, but she's still oblivious to the world, clutching my chest. Aaron returns, beaming at me.
Everyone's here. Looks like I've got a full inn. What's wrong?
Only now does she see the expression on my face. I point with one hand to the goblins.
Them! Get them the hell out of here!
Who?
Aaron turns. Then she looks back at me, troubled.
Ryoka, they're guests.
I'm not asking you.
I point at Mercia, and Aaron's face changes. Reluctantly, she goes up the hill. I see her talking to the two goblins and pointing back at me and Mercia. I don't know what she says, and I don't care. I walk up the hill away from the goblins. By the time I reach the top, they're gone. Aaron had that disappointed look on her face, but I don't care. I push into the inn, ignoring the others who greet me. Only when I've put Mercia down do I look around.
Hello! You're Ryoka, right?
I hear a friendly voice and look around. Celis, the female drake, is smiling at me. She looks down at Mercia. She's curled into a ball in one of the chairs.
Aww, who's this?
Mercia. She's had a bad day.
Celis nods and walks quietly away from Mercia so she can speak to me.
I know we barely got to talk, but I heard a bit of what happened from Aaron.
Oh, really?
Inwardly, I curse as I hear the words come out. I'm still really hostile from seeing the goblins, but Celis just gives me a smile.
Don't worry. I get it. Aaron is so little oblivious. But if you ever want to talk, I'm willing to listen.
I stare at her. Well,
I guess receptionists have to deal with a lot of crap, huh?
She chuckles.
It's part of the job. And after hearing about that goblin lord, ancestors, I'd hate to imagine that. Is that Noel child?
She's the only one who's left, yeah.
Celis's eyes are full of pity.
Poor girl. Let me know if I can help, okay?
Is it really that easy? Can you really just offer to help like that? I hesitate and then nod awkwardly.
Thanks.
Just let me know. And I think what she... Oh, what's her name? Mercia? What she really needs right now is some sleep and quiet.
But when Celis and I try to bring Mercia upstairs, she starts slashing at both of us the instant we get near. She bites at me, even when I try to sit next to her. And it turns out that claws hurt, even if you have scales. We have to leave her alone. Celis and I retreat as Aaron bustles around us, chattering to Kilbj and the human.
Oh, Ryoka, have you met Hallrock? No? This is Hallrock. He's a gold rank adventurer.
I nod at the grizzled man. He nods back. Unfriendly guy.
Wait, what the hell did Aaron say about him being gold rank?
His eyes flick to Mercia as he sits at a table.
Ryoka Griffin, you have my condolences.
I turn. Kilbakach, one of the damn Antinium. No. He's one of Aaron's friends, and he died once to save her. I nod to him.
Kilbakach?
Yes. Allow me to reassure you that I will conduct patrols of the area south of Lysk, or, when possible, to ensure the safety of Mercia and this inn.
Really?
That's suspicious. Why would Kilbakach take so much interest in Aaron? It must have to do with the individual Antinium thing and pawn. Damn it, Aaron. But any help is welcome, so I nod. Kilbakach looks at Mercia. She's crying again. Her small body shakes, and I feel my heart ache.
I regret what has occurred. Rest assured, if the Goblin Lord's army passes near one of the hives, it will be destroyed.
There's nothing to say to that. I just nod. But Mercia's crying puts a damper even on Aaron's good cheer. She does her best, cooking up food and insisting we all sit together at a table, but she can't get Mercia to move. And so Lionette brings us our drinks, hot water for me and Kilbakach, and ale for Celis, in silence. I glance over at Hallrock. He's sitting alone, but he keeps staring at Mercia. Is he bothered by her? Well, of course he would be. He stops Aaron as she passes a table and points to Mercia. And then, for some reason, I see him point to a bunch of flowers on a table near one of the windows.
Flowers? Why the hell are there flowers in here?
Celis looks over as she bites into some spaghetti with meatballs.
Oh, those? I think they came from the fairies. That's what Aaron says, anyways.
Kilbakach and I stare at her.
The frost fairies gave them to her? Why?
I don't know. For some meal she cooked them. Aaron was pretty mad about it at the time.
Oh my God. She didn't. They didn't. I stare in horror at the flowers as Aaron goes over to them. Golden flowers. Is it too much of a leap of logic to assume?
Did she think they were golden coins?
Kilbukic stares at me as if I'm crazy, but Celis nods. She slurps down a noodle.
That's right. That's what Aaron said. How did you know?
I put my face in my hands and groan. Did Aaron just not remember those old stories about fairies? I hope she didn't waste that much food on those bastards.
Is bastard the right word here? Bitches might be more gender-specific, but it doesn't really encapsulate how much I sometimes hate those damn fairies.
Pardon me. Am I to understand these flowers were enchanted to look like coins?
I nod at Kilbukic. It feels really odd to be sitting and chatting to an Antinium, much less Kilbukic the Slayer. I want to talk with him, but not with Celis around.
It's something the fairies do. They trick people into accepting gold that turns to flowers or disappears the next day. Aaron got taken for a ride.
I see. This is unfortunate.
Yeah, but Aaron says the flowers are actually useful.
What?
All three of us look over to the flowers. Aaron is picking some and squeezing them? Yes, she's adding them to a mug and Hallrock's watching her with an intense expression. What the hell is going on? But then Aaron walks over to Mercia with a mug full of ale and a few drops of that flower nectar mixed in. I frown as she gently touches Mercia.
Mercia, you okay, honey?
Mercia swipes at Aaron, but the other girl is out of arm's reach. Aaron touches Mercia again.
Hey, I don't want to bother you, sweetie, but I've got a drink. It'll help you relax, okay?
The hell is she doing?
Is Aaron trying to get Mercia drunk? I stand up, frowning, but Kilbukic tugs on my arm.
Please wait, Griffin. I believe Aaron Solstice may be attempting to do something beneficial.
I hesitate, but then this is Aaron. I look back at the flowers and then at the way Hallrock's staring at the mug. Flowers. Illusions. Hallucinogens? Not the craziest thing I've heard of. Even as I watch, Aaron coaxes Mercia out of her ball. The gnoll sniffs at the mug, but curious as ever, she tastes some. I watch her gulp a few mouthfuls of the drink down with butterflies in my stomach. Mercia's eyes go wide, and then she sighs. She closes her eyes, and then goes limp.
Mercia?
Aaron turns towards me as I approach. She lets me take Mercia. I feel at her anxiously.
She's just asleep, Ryoka. Or in a trance. Hallrock says the drink helps. I've tried it before, and it does make you feel better.
It will.
I turn. Hallrock, the gold rank adventurer, is standing behind us. He nods to me.
Miss Griffin, Aaron Solstice has a unique drink. It's liquid memory.
Memory? You mean it's some kind of drug?
I glare at Aaron. She raises her hands defensively.
It's just the flowers and some alcohol. It's part of one of the skills I learned, Ryoka. It's called Wondrous Fair, and Hallrock says it makes you feel better. He's had lots.
Aaron looks over at him, and the adventurer nods. He stares at the drink on the table.
It brings back happy memories, for a time. I imagine the gnoll child will sleep after drinking it, in any case.
I stare at Aaron. Fairy flowers can be made into a magical drink? Why did I not think of that? No. Is Aaron a genius or just insane?
Are you sure it's safe?
Why don't you try some?
Aaron offers me the drink. I accept the mug and stare into it. Hallrock looks at the piss-colored liquid as if it's liquid gold, but I'm not so sure.
It's not bad.
The alcohol is swill, but I'll vouch for its effects. I'll have one myself and pay what you want for it.
Really? Ooh, what should I charge?
Is that drink for everyone? I'd like to try some, too, if we're having samples.
Celis stands up and stares at the mug, as does Kilbukic. Aaron picks some more flowers, and I stare at the liquid. It's not like I haven't tried certain medicinal herbs before, but that was just once, and I've never smoked or taken any hard drugs. I love to run, not mess up my body. But if Aaron was confident enough to give it to Mercia, at the very least, I should see what effect it has. I hesitate, but Aaron's already mixing up another 3 mugs. Cautiously, I down the drink.
Yep, that's some crap.
Did Aaron buy the cheapest alcohol available? I frown as I swallow. I don't sense any other taste, but it was just a few drops. How long does the effect last?
The world dissolves around me, into rushing air, into mist and smoke that drifts up from the fire. I stare at Urksh as Mercia sits next to me, staring up at me. The gnolls in the camp bustle around, laughing, talking, as I stare at him. He looks up from a bit of hot fish and grins at me.
You look shocked, Ryoka Griffin. Is this not what you wish to see?
No, I falter. Mercia looked up inquiringly, her brown fur shining in the firelight. Urksh laughs.
It is well. Rest here for a while before continuing on your journey.
I will. A piece of hot fish, mackerel, maybe, is resting in my hand. Hot enough to nearly burn my skin, but not quite. So warm and tender that I can bite into it and banish the cold of the night air. The fire in front of me warms my skin, and Mercia sighs as she snuggles into my side. I look at Urksh. He smiles as he sits in the cold winter air. The gnolls laugh as they prepare to sleep for the night.
I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
He nods.
I know, but it is not you who must apologize, yes? We paid the price as we wished.
Yeah, it's just...
He shakes his head.
Eat, Ryoka Griffin, and then perhaps tell us another story. The one about the king with the sword was particularly good, I thought.
Mercia nods. She sits up eagerly, and I raise the fish to my lips. The scent makes my mouth water, and I see gnolls drifting over. They sit together, warm, happy, full. The cold air blows, but it is banished by the warmth here. I open my mouth, and my teeth sink into the hot food.
Ryoka, you're doing the same staring thing. Are you okay?
Oh.
The vision fades. I stare at Aaron. She smiles nervously at me.
No good? Everyone's gone silent. I tried the drink, but I only had a bit, and I just felt happy when I remembered playing chess against Pawn. Is it too strong, or good like that?
I stare at the drink. It's still half full. I put it to my lips and drink the rest down. The world spins, and the last thing I feel is myself falling backwards. And then, For a few moments, I'm sitting around a campfire again, laughing, happy, and I ask for their forgiveness and no peace until I wake. Outside the inn, the Frost Fairies watched as Ryoka Griffin collapsed backwards and Erin scrambled to catch her. They hovered outside in the cold, staring through one of the windows. It wasn't that they couldn't enter, it was just that they didn't mind the cold, and they didn't want their conversation to be heard.
"The drink is made from the flowers. The innkeeper made it. That's not supposed to happen. Mortals don't use the flowers we give them. They're supposed to throw them away."
The fairies watched as Erin laid Ryoka down and then looked at the other patrons of her inn. They all had the same far-off expression in their eyes.
"Should we remove the flowers?" "But 'twas a gift. We cannot take it back. What if we gave actual gold? Would that suffice?"
Inside the inn, Erin brushed against Kilbukich. The Antinium had gone completely still after drinking his mug, just like Celis and Hallrock. Now the slight nudge sent him toppling backwards, and like a domino, the drake and human toppled over as well. The fairies watched as Erin began to panic.
"'Tis funny. Yes."
The fairies paused. They looked at each other.
"I wonder what the drink tastes like. Swill, I heard. Good swill."
There was only one way to find out. The fairies swooped into the inn.
"Innkeep, a mug of your finest swill!"
And both Ryoka and Mercia slept soundly, dreaming of a happier time. That was until they woke. But though the dream faded, part of it remained, filling them up, mending the cracks in their hearts like a flower growing in the snow.